Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, Chaz.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to
Happy
you.
Happy New Year.
Merry New Year.
Happy New Year. Hello?
Yeah.
<Do-do>.
So do you like your presents, hon?
Yes. Okay, so last night we're on the couch and I said, oh, you should call in at 6:20 and we'll talk about stuff. And
okay.
I said, we got to figure out exactly what you're going to talk about. And she says, I like to just wing it. I'm like, okay, I know what's going to happen.
You get, hello?
And I'm not going to help
oh,
you.
Great.
You get, hello?
Well, Chaz gave me an Instapot and I've been kind of on the fence of trying this thing because there's definitely a learning curve with it. And so yesterday I didn't read any of the instructions inside the thing. I just YouTubed a video because you're supposed to do a test run before you actually use it. The test, put like 3 cups of water in it and turn it on.
It's a pressure cooker.
Yeah. Okay.
The thing can explode.
Really?
Yes.
Oh boy.
I'm a little intimidated by it. So then I followed exactly what the video said and I put it on, and about 5 or 10 minutes later, you just hear this in the kitchen. You hear like really loud, and I turn, and there's like this big shot of steam coming out of the top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And
he looks. It looks like it's about to go.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
no.
Like Chernobyl. Yeah.
He says, "Is this supposed to happen?" I'm like, "I don't know."
Read the book, damn it.
So I didn't touch it. I just let it sit there, and then this little thing went down, and I knew the pressure was done, and I just unplugged it. Yeah, that's it. I haven't used it.
And I, you know, I thought I would take a lot of heat on Facebook for giving you an Instapot.
Mm-hmm.
No, I really wanted to try one.
There you go, right, see?
Unless she wanted it.
Yeah.
So yes. It's okay if she asked for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
a cooking
absolutely
thing.
Absolutely.
Right, right.
You can cook a meal in like 10 minutes, like an entire meal in 10 minutes. It's insane.
Wow.
Yeah.
There are people that use them constantly, and they never stop talking about how much they love them. So, I mean,
yeah,
it's a great gift.
Everything.
Yeah, yeah. Jennifer's a crock pot person.
Yeah.
Oh.
And it takes hours and out, like a whole day.
Yeah.
You know, depending on what you're making.
You want to eat now, damn it.
Make that same thing in like 15 minutes.
Like a pot roast, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everything. I mean, it's crazy. So I'll try it this weekend, I think. Maybe.
So, yeah. So I got you that. Then I got you the customized socks with your face on them.
Those are great.
Now she can walk on her face.
He told me I had to wear them to work the next day. I was like, oh, come on. He's like, you have to. I'm like, okay, I wore them to work.
Do you wear long pants?
So then I sit down and you see my face sticking out of the bottom of my pants. It's so weird.
It's so weird. You look down, there's your face. You look up, there's your face.
Right.
Weird.
Right.
Co-workers.
That woman's wearing socks with her own face on it.
You passed out
to herself.
Right. Yeah.
A little too in.
When I
think Chaz wore the pair the first night, though. You did.
Yeah.
When I first saw the picture, I was like, "What is that? A blindfold? What is that?" Because the way that you framed it, I couldn't tell that they were socks. I didn't see the caption right away.
Right.
I was like, "What the hell is this?
Well,
is it a tie? Like, what is it?"
You know how, like, they usually on the back of a sock, you have like a little wedge where the heel of your foot goes.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what size he thought my feet were, but that wedge is like up in the back of my calf.
We got size 15.
There were no options.
Yeah, exactly.
There were no size options.
Oh, okay.
So you got a little bubble there.
Yeah.
They're probably more novelty
exactly
than actually wear them.
Yeah.
They're probably like, oh, look, everybody.
Oh, no, they're good
drawer
socks.
Oh, really?
Good quality.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're thick. Yeah, they're nice.
Then I got you a gun and you got me a gun.
Nice.
Yes. Yeah, very excited about that. It's really cool.
Like Mr.
Very
Mrs. Smith.
Easy.
Yeah.
Yes. Mr. Mrs. Smith.
I got his and her guns.
Nice. Look at you.
Kevin from McDermott came over the house.
Oh, cool.
And he brought one and to use it up on the range.
Right.
And he said, you're going to try this and you're going to want one. Boy, was he right.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Entire torso.
What else?
Head and torso.
Oh, you got me a mankini?
Yes, I got
what
the mankini.
What the hell
that
is that?
Funny.
That is a horrifying picture.
I found that online, and I was like, I have to buy this for him. And it has little bells where the where your nipples are.
And a reindeer nose.
And a reindeer nose. And a little smiley.
Well, obviously, he's dancer. He's dancer.
It's adjustable on the back for that form-fitting fit. So when I gave it to him, he went, I said, are you going to try it on? and he grabbed it and he ran away. And he came out of the bathroom.
There were some drinks involved. It wasn't like Christmas morning at the opening.
Yeah.
I can't put out right now.
Right.
Right.
No, this was Christmas Eve night.
Thank you, Santa.
Night, late into the night.
Right.
And I thought, oh, this will be funny.
It's a great idea at that point. Yes.
So he goes and changes, and he comes out of the bathroom with a red fedora, a mankini, and like hillbilly wool socks.
Well,
bad visual.
Yeah.
And then he shook himself back and forth so I could hear the bells.
Little shimmy.
We probably shouldn't know any more about this evening.
Yeah, no.
No.
Just that the back strap of that needs a good cleaning.
You know what your cleaner said?
That's it.
Damn it! Damn it!
Thank God that part of the out is brown.
That visual's not going to go away!
Damn it!
All right, then Jennifer had one of the most notable quotes of 2020 already.
Oh, really?
Do you remember what you said? It was shortly after midnight. One of the first things.
Yeah, so we get into bed. It's probably like 1 a.m. New Year's Eve night.
Yeah, we're on the couch New Year's Eve.
And I'm laying down and he's sitting up and I'm looking up and I could see his nostrils. And I was like, "Hun, I'm like, do you realize your nostrils are the shape of a long raindrop?"
A long raindrop.
No, but that's what she was trying to say.
Okay.
But what actually came out was meow, meow.
Meow, meow, long raindrop.
Meow, meow, long raindrop.
Long raindrop.
Like, what are you speaking? What language is this? Meow, meow, long raindrop.
The cat got it.
Meow, long raindrop.
What?
The cat got
it. He, like, text that to me. I'm like, okay. Meow, meow, long raindrop.
Meow, 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 long raindrop.
That's some good alcohol.
Me speaking English fucking well.
I promise.
AJ and I did some shooting at the range on my property over vacation.
Yes.
And I thought because AJ has a pistol permit, I wouldn't really have to explain too much to him because there's a whole safety course you have to take.
Right.
Well, that was my mistake. I should have explained.
I've been there before and I did better the last time. I made a boo-boo. It happens. I go back to the experienced DEA agent who shot himself in the foot in front of a class.
Right.
Things happen. That's why pencils have erasers.
Right. Yeah, you can't erase a bullet, though.
No, but, you know, where it went wasn't going to hurt anybody.
Oh, boy.
All right. Let's talk to Rick, Jennifer's brother, in from California, gun enthusiast. He's with us. So it's the three of us out in the woods.
Right.
And, Rick, you want to... Hey.
Hey, what's up, Chaz?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
Right on. Right on. So you're talking about guns?
Yep. Yeah. So there's this rule that when someone goes down range, all guns go down, they get opened.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
So there's no loaded weapons as someone's walking down range.
Right, right, right.
Yeah. And then the other rule is, I'm not the target, AJ.
Oh, no.
No one was pointing
you
at
you.
You
know what I'm saying, brother? Yeah.
No one was pointing at you,
I still got a nervous twitch. I got a nervous twitch. I'm going to fly back to California in about 3 hours for the nervous twitch. Thanks, AJ.
You'll be fine over there.
So,
I want to know the school that he went to get his gun permit. Because I think you should get a refund.
No, I don't think it's the school. I think it's AJ.
I just made
a mistake. And I should know this by now. AJ's like a fish. Every 5 seconds, he's like, what am I doing here? So I'm watching Rick walk down range because he's going to try out my 10 gauge.
Yeah.
And short barrel, so you want to get close.
Yep.
And he's walking down range, and then I hear, poff.
And I flinched pretty bad.
I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
I look over.
Thanks, AJ.
And it's AJ.
Yes. I was taking my gun out, and I took the gun out, and I took the clip out of it, and I noticed that it was like the gun was jammed. So I'm sitting there going, why the hell is this damn gun jammed?
It wasn't jammed. There was a bullet in it.
Yeah, well, I know now. So I'm sitting there trying to rock the top back and forth. Trying to do something, I'm like, maybe there's no bullet in here. I just pointed towards the ground, away from me, and I pulled the trigger, and there was a bullet in there, and it shot into the ground. It was a practice bullet. Yep,
a practice bullet.
A practice bullet.
Yep.
What do you mean?
For me.
What do you mean a practice bullet?
It was
non-practice bullet.
It was a practice bullet. Yeah, it wasn't like a home security bullet. It was a practice bullet.
It only hurts a little less on regular.
Oh, yeah, right, AJ.
It wasn't aimed at anybody. It was aimed at the ground.
Those hollow points you were practicing with?
Yep. Yeah, that was a dumbass move. Yes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. AJ bought the most expensive bullets to shoot into targets.
Yep.
Yeah.
Again, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So what made you think
that was my New Year's resolution, to never go shooting again with AJ.
There you go. And I can help you achieve that.
Now, he did fire into the ground.
I did.
Which was good. But you know,
I'll give him credit for that.
You didn't have to fire at that moment.
I know.
You could have waited.
I wasn't thinking about it. I'm obviously, I feel like an idiot.
Because it puts everybody on edge.
I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just a little edge.
I'm never invited back again, I know. A practice edge.
No, you're welcome to come back, but no, we're going to go by certain... I realized after that, it's like, okay, I have to go through all the rules with AJ every single time.
Yes, yeah. It would be helpful, yeah.
And you got to just take your time.
Yep, I know.
Take your time.
I know.
If you have any thought of what to do, don't do anything.
Right.
Because doing nothing is the best thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
It was a dumb... I'm fucking idiot. And then as I'm leaving your house, I go, which brakes is going to be on Thursday?
7:40.
And I still laugh because I walked away. And like, oh, yeah.
But I turned the recorder, my phone on to record Rick about 20 seconds after the shot was fired. And you could hear this clip starts with me saying, Jesus. And then AJ's trying to explain what happened.
Okay. I took the clip out and I'm like, well, I thought like, just to make sure what this.
Now, what did AJ just say? I took the clip out.
I took the clip out.
Right. And then it was.
Well, in my defense, I'm like, I just shot the ground. I'm not going to say, well, that's my prior conversation.
I don't understand.
I took the clip out.
I wasn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I scared the crap out of everybody.
Right. Play that again.
Put the clip out, and I'm like, well, I thought it was. Just to make sure with this.
So wait, what did you say?
I took the clip out, and just to make sure, I motioned down to the ground. I fired at the ground.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's something in the middle.
Right.
In my defense, again, I did not expect there to be a bullet in there, and the damn thing went off. I was a little
there's something
shaky.
In the middle. Yeah, it's called a bullet.
Right. It was about, about 2 or 3 minutes later, AJ's walking back. All right, so he shot at a target with his pistol. He goes down to examine the target. Now he's walking back with the gun up.
Oh, AJ.
Yeah, which is a big no-no, AJ.
Right.
It's like 101.
I can feel those 101. Oh, AJ,
be
the guy
careful,
who shot a gun
man.
Once.
Point to the ground.
I know. The clip was out, and also, it was all, you could tell it was nothing in it because the whole thing was arched back. It was nice and wide open, so.
Arched back.
Oh, yep. Boy.
All right. Okay, well, we learned some valuable lessons.
We did.
Yeah, what did you learn?
Never go to your house again.
And sell your gun.
No!
It's great that Rick could laugh about this.
It wasn't pointed at him, dingus.
I'm just saying, a lot of people wouldn't be laughing.
It wasn't pointed at anybody.
No, but when you're downrange and you hear that sound,
yeah, no,
it's enough to scare the crap out of
you. Oh, I know.
And it makes everybody tense.
I'm sorry. It's kind of coming to me,
it's
too.
It's all good, AJ.
Well, we're glad you're okay, Rick.
And that leaf didn't like it either.
Yeah.
And your mom didn't like that story at all. She didn't think it was funny at all.
Oh, wow.
At all. Are you kidding me?
Oops.
Damn, AJ.
Yeah. All right. Well, have a safe trip back to California, brother.
All right. Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you soon, man.
Take care, man.
Bye.
Yep.
I'm like, AJ being AJ is funny unless it's on a shooting range. Then it's not funny.
I did great the last time.
You did. Oh, and outside of that, you did great.
That was
you're very, very good with the target.
I had a lot of aggression to get rid of.
Use your boss doll. Give it a good old squeeze.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Who's that doll right now?
It's a culmination of a few people.
Good morning, brother. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. 2020, we made it.
Yes. So far, so good.
You sound like you had a good time on New Year's Eve.
No, not really.
No?
No.
What did you do?
No, going to dinner. A good time was when I had the Allman Brothers at the New Haven Coliseum. That was a good time.
Right.
What year was that?
79 and 80.
Wow.
Still coming down from it, too.
And back then, were you able to have a band on stage at midnight?
Yeah, they stayed on till about 12:30. The building director was tough. He wanted, I think he just wanted to go home, to tell you the truth.
Right.
But he said, the police are going to bust you, blah, blah, blah. The whole big deal about getting off stage by 12:30.
Oh, wow.
And telling the Allman Brothers to get off stage is not easy.
No.
Right.
I'm in the middle of a jam.
Take us through that. What did they play right before midnight, and was there a countdown, and then what song did they go into?
Well, let's see. That was, what, almost 40 years ago?
Yeah, close to it, yep.
Do you remember where you were 40 years ago in the very last song that you heard?
No.
Debbie, no.
Oh,
no.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
There was a countdown. I do remember that.
Okay.
So but everybody, I can't remember what song there was at all.
Everybody
I
at the New Haven Coliseum doing a countdown, 10, 9, 8, Happy New Year.
And then Greg dropped. Then
I'll guess Whipping Post.
Yeah, right. Then Greg dropped.
Greg dropped.
Ball dropping, Greg dropped.
Right.
Yeah, Whipping Post would be great to go into. Right,
good idea.
That. Then do a 30-minute version of Whipping Post, and
right.
Then thank you and good night.
Exactly.
Oh, tough getting them off the stage. They did not want to get off the stage.
Oh, really?
Huh.
Oh, I actually punched the co-manager one day.
Did you?
Trying to get him off the stage. Only punch he ever threw in my life.
Wow.
Really?
Where'd you connect, his face?
I was, you know what, I was such a chicken that I hit him in the chest.
Oh, okay.
And I played golf with him back in November, and I asked him if he remembered me punching him, and he didn't.
Wow. I'm sure he's got hit before. One guy punching the chest.
Well, that's why I've only thrown one punch in my life. The one punch I threw, the guy doesn't remember me hitting him.
Exactly, right.
Where was this punch thrown, and what was going on?
It was right on stage. It was the building manager was all over me to get him off the stage. He threatened to pull the gates down. He would not let their equipment out. They had a show to play January 1st. He threatened not to let the equipment out. So I'm freaking out, and I'm yelling at this guy, Alex, on stage, you got to get him off, you got to get him off. He goes, you're telling me to tell the Allman Brothers to stop playing music? I'm going, because they're going to not get their equipment. I'm doing it for them, for their sake. And he goes, well, I'm not telling him anything. And I just reared back, and I punched him. I was probably so drugged up and upset, and whatever. You know, it was New Year's Eve.
I'm going to hit something. There's four of them. I'll hit one of them.
I was 30 years old.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
Then I just reared back and punched him, and then it didn't work, of course. They kept playing, and I guess he didn't even feel the damn punch because he didn't remember it.
So you know it's an extra beat in the song.
Right. So this was the first time they played New Year's Eve or the second time?
It was the second time. It was 1980.
Oh.
It was 1980, and it was so upsetting. I remember which side of the stage I was standing on when I punched him. That's how memorable it was to me.
Wow.
See?
Not to the guy I actually hit, but me.
Right.
Who threw it was memorable.
And what time is this? Is this 12:20, and you're beginning to try to get them off? Or okay.
Yes. It was about 12:20, and this building manager was a really tough guy. May he rest in peace. He was wonderful, this guy. Loris Smith, his name was. But he can be tough at times, and he was tough. He did not want to hear about it. And they played till 12:30, quarter to one. But nonetheless, he never went through with his threat. But as a 30-year-old guy, I was afraid that this was going to be the end of my career with the Allman Brothers, who were probably the band, along with the Dead, that played with me the most.
Right.
So I saw a lot of business just tripping out and relationships.
Right.
Yikes.
And that one guy has an inverted nipple now. So.
Indeed. Yeah. Like, where did that come from? I have a third nipple. So was that your last New Year's Eve show?
No, no, no. We've done shows at Mohegan Sun probably four or five times. We've done Bette Midler there. Impractical Jokers were just there this year. We do New Year's Eve shows at Mohegan Sun are common, but generally nowhere else because people really don't like to drive New Year's Eve like they used to.
Right.
Mohegan Sun's a destination spot. You drive there, you stay in the hotel that night, you go to the concert.
Right.
But we have really gotten out of the habit of doing New Year's Eve shows.
Did you ever do a New Year's Eve Grateful Dead show?
No, no, they were always in San Francisco.
Oh, all right. And that, didn't you travel with them?
I traveled with them, but I never traveled west of the Mississippi. We ran their tours. I co-ran their tours for 5 years, 91 to 96. But New Year's Eve was always in San Francisco.
Okay. And I'm guessing no one asked the Grateful Dead to leave the stage at 12:30.
They couldn't find the stage.
Right.
It was San Francisco. It wasn't New Haven.
Yeah. It goes as long as you want.
Right.
What's the longest?
You know, there's a difference right there.
What's the longest the Grateful Dead's ever played that you know of?
I would say it is close to this Bruce Springsteen 4 hour time period, but it's between 3 and 3.5 hours. But we have to remember they always took a good 45 minute to 1 hour break.
Right.
So they would play an hour and a half at the first half, then they take an hour break, and then they would play another hour and a half on the second set, maybe 2 hours the second set.
Right.
So they were not on stage for the 4 hours that Bruce Springsteen was literally on stage on the last Giant Stadium show that he played, which is still a record as far as I know.
And they had a total of 6 songs that night.
Yeah. Well, you're clearly not a deadhead.
I should have said 4, right?
But AJ makes a point. If they wanted to, they could play for days. They have so much material, and they like to do extended versions.
Long versions.
Of their songs.
Yeah.
Yeah, the jams are, you know, I happen to, as many people know, I love the Dead. And, then, you know, the jamming was great. The Allmans jammed. Even bands like Marshall Tucker jammed. Yeah. I've always been a jam guy. I like jams. I don't like drum solos.
Right.
But I do like...
Most folks don't.
No. It's good for the food and beverage business that we have.
Bob Dylan holds the record at Toad's Place for longest show, right?
Yes, 4 sets. It was at least 4 hours long. It's the longest show he's ever played. It's the most songs he's ever played in the show.
Yeah.
It is listed as a classic, by along with the Forest Hills show, the Newport Folk Festival show when he turned electric. The Toad show is listed right up there with
really
the great Bob Dylan shows. Absolutely.
Yeah, translator and everything.
I was at that show because, you know, like many people, I missed out on the Rolling Stones and I wanted to be part of some Toad's Place concert history. So I heard Bob Dylan, who, you know, I recognize as a great, but I'm not a big fan.
No.
That he was playing Toads. I'm like, oh, I want to be part of
here
that.
Here we go. Yeah.
So I went. And, I don't know, an hour or so in, I'm like, oh, this is, I gotta go. I left early. I didn't see the whole thing.
I didn't either. I left early, too.
Well, you were there for the Stones, so, like, no one's going to beat that.
No, no.
Yeah, just don't tell anybody I left early for the Dylan show, because there was a lot that happened afterwards, right after the second set, saying, oh, I'm not the biggest Dylan fan either. I'm like you. I like some of his songs.
Oh, really?
But there's no way I could sit through 4 hours of Bob Dylan.
Right, yeah. We'll keep our mouth shut on that one, yeah.
Any upcoming concert announcements, Jimmy?
Yeah, we're going to announce a Rod Stewart show next.
Oh.
Ew.
Yes.
He's doing classic still or what?
No. Rock and roll.
Go good.
So his stuff.
Well, I call it rock and roll. Some people might think Rod Stewart's not rock and roll. I certainly think it's rock and roll.
So standards, yeah.
Yeah, no standards, no. And I happen to like the standards a lot. I think he's really a song stylist. Because, you know, many of the hits he had were other people's songs. People just don't know it because he made it his song.
Right.
I mean, Reason to Believe, it's a Tim Hardin song.
So it's like an early Michael Bolton.
You don't think of Rod Stewart when you think of songwriters, but he's one of the greatest songwriters ever.
You're absolutely right. You're right. That's a good idea. I'm glad you brought that up. I did not want to take that away from him, but you're right. But, you know, First Cut is the deepest. Cat Stevens song does Van Morrison hits. He's done taking other people's songs and made them hits also, besides Maggie May and his own big hits.
Right. Yeah. And then I heard something about Nickelback.
Yeah, Nickelback's going to tour again, and we're going to have them at Xfinity this summer, and we're just finishing up the dates right now, but they're going to be back on tour this summer. And to my shock, they did big business last time around.
Really?
They have staying power.
I went once, kind of a forced thing, but as I was there watching the concert, I kind of got why they have so many fans, because they're really fan-friendly.
Yeah.
reminded me of Keith Urban. I went to a Keith Urban show not thinking that I would like it, but he was so great in concert that I became a fan.
AOC?
Yeah, I totally get that, too. There's more to a concert than the music. And I've had that happen, too. It's also the feeling inside the venue, and the artist sets the tone. I totally agree with that. There are artists I never liked that much, but when I went to see them in concert, I really fell in love with them.
Yeah.
Just the whole feeling that they bring to a show. And they're very fan-friendly. I've always believed fan-friendly gives you a 1 or 2 year further career because your fans don't leave you that much.
Right.
I mean, Jon Bon Jovi's like that. Jon Bon Jovi is still a giant superstar. And hasn't put a hit single out in, gosh, who knows how many years. But in my opinion, the most fan-friendly rock star I've ever met.
When the artist makes you feel like that is their favorite place to be with you,
right?
Then, you don't want to leave.
They're like a family member. Yeah. Yes.
No, you're right. And when Jon Bon Jovi says that at Mohegan Sun, he's speaking the truth because that is his favorite venue.
Brian in Rocky Hill wants to know about Rage Against the Machine.
I'm hearing they're doing more shows. I hear it's not just going to be one show here. I hear they might have 8 to 10 shows this coming year. But they're going to try it out, see how it goes. No plans on Connecticut at the moment. Of course, they're still just dipping their feet in the water again.
Steve in Stratford, Warren Haynes, performing in Connecticut this year, ?
Not really sure at this point. It would have to be with Government Mule. And no plans for Government Mule at the moment, but I'm one of his biggest fans. He lives a few miles from me, so hopefully we'll get him into Connecticut. I'd love to see him back at Oakdale. They did very well at Oakdale last time.
Seems like you'd be. Hello?
Hey, hi. Else?
Jimmy Cobb.
Well, you know what?
Hey, Warren, here's your newspaper.
I hear the Last Waltz might go back out again. And if that happens, we'll bring Warren in.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a big success at Oakdale.
Beth in Plymouth wants to know about Dave Matthews this summer.
Tour will be announced. Let me actually look it up because I have the date here. The tour will be announced January 21st, and we will have Connecticut on the tour.
Oh.
There you go, see?
That sounds like we just got
a lot of stuff on Facebook. I hear no Hartford. We're figuring out where he's going to play, but I'm sure he'll play Connecticut. Let's put it that way.
Oh, I have a feeling I know then.
Yeah.
It's not Bridgeport.
Oh, then I don't.
Right.
It's in June. It's too early.
Right.
Oh, okay.
We said nothing.
Bridgeport begins when?
Late July.
Okay.
Gotcha.
And have you firmed up any bands for Bridgeport yet, or are you waiting to see where they are before you place them? In other words, you're holding multiple venues for an artist just
I'm holding case. Multiple venues. Right now, so if Bridgeport isn't open, that we'll play Mohegan Sun or we'll play Oakdale, we'll play somewhere. But I do have one artist that will definitely play Bridgeport because it's in the middle of August, and I'm very comfortable that Howard will get the building open in August.
And do we want to hint at who that is?
Well, we haven't figured out when to announce it yet. It will be sometime in the next week or two, probably. But it's a classic rock artist.
Okay,
we'll, we'll go that far. Okay. Classic rock artist. Mm.
How many groups would you say you have with multiple venues but holding for Bridgeport?
Right now we have between 8 and 12.
Wowie.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic.
Good assortment.
Ken in Bridgeport. Whitey Morgan and the 78.
Hey,
Yell Bowl.
Yell Bowl. Parking lot. Parking lot.
What the hell?
Sunset.
Tell me this guy's banned.
Sunset Nursing Home.
Who is fine. Whitey Morgan?
Right.
Hold on. I got to take this just to find out.
Like a bad gangster name.
Going on.
That's Whitey Morgan. Say, ma-ma-ma. 78. Say, ma-ma-ma-ma.
Ken? All right, we lost Ken.
Yeah, Ken.
He's Whitey, probably.
yeah, Ken probably dumped out.
All right, then Kiss, right? We know coming.
Yes, Kiss is already on sale, coming to Xfinity.
Right. Will there be another Kiss concert in Connecticut?
No, not now. I mean, it could be eventually, but no, and You know who the opening act is on Kiss? Do you?
DLR, right?
David Lee Roth.
Yep.
David Lee Roth.
Yep.
How do you think that'll work? How long do you think that'll last?
Well, as long as David and Gene don't talk to each other, because David is spacey and Gene is 100% business, it'll be spectacular.
There you go.
Because I think seeing David Lee Roth in concert, he'll have some great lead guitarist with him. He'll sing all the great Van Halen tunes. It will sell tickets, which will make Gene very happy. I think it will work out great.
I saw that and I thought, oh, this is so cool. But.
Right, but. Very big but.
But.
Right.
There are too many egos in the room.
Exactly. Like the Odd Couple of music.
So, yeah, but you know what? But you have to remember that Kiss are real business people, too. And I think David Lee Roth was a brilliant choice as an opening act.
So Kiss playing, they already played Mohegan, coming to Xfinity. Is there maybe a way to talk them into one more time through Connecticut in Bridgeport?
Well, it would have to be the following summer. And I don't know if Kiss will be touring the following summer, because we can't put Kiss in Hartford and also Kiss in Bridgeport. That would be, you know, it's a tough choice for the customer to make. And therefore, we try not to do that. We look at them as competitive.
Oh,
okay. But I would certainly do it if they tour next summer. That's for sure.
Now, is Xfinity a competitor to Mohegan Sun?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes, you won't see the same act play there either.
Gotcha.
Occasionally, you'll see the same act play Oakdale, but that's about it.
Okay, so Oakdale and Mohegan maybe, but not Xfinity Mohegan.
That's correct.
Okay.
We find that Oakdale draws a lot from the valley, that area, and that area does not want to go all the way out to Mohegan Sun.
Gotcha.
So, but otherwise, it's really the mostly all competitive.
I feel like a little bit of a loser talking about it, but I watched 8 seasons of Dexter in almost 3 weeks.
Huh?
I feel like I should be inducted into the Loser Hall of Fame.
Wow. I'll be next to you.
No,
but like, what would you hold a record for? Or is that a binge watching record? I mean, I don't think anyone could beat that, right? It's 8 seasons in less than 3 weeks.
Huh.
That's a lot.
It is.
How many episodes are there per season?
12. It's a lot.
Oh, dang.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
No, you get a gold star for that one.
A couple of years ago, I did catch up on Game of Thrones. Amanda was a big fan. I had never seen an episode. It was 6 seasons. There's 10 episodes each. They're each about an hour. I did that in 9 days.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Season 1, episode 1 to the end of season 6.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I feel like you beat me.
Yeah, well, yeah, big time. Yeah. No, you're good.
No, but I want to explain. There were two goals. One, I just didn't want to do anything that was work related. And when I say work, I know this isn't real work, but I didn't want to be around people. I didn't want to be on the internet. I didn't want to be doing emails.
Right.
So none of that.
Right.
And then I've had enough of the Project House to where, like, I needed a break from that. So I didn't want to be out in the woods, because that's usually my release. Uh-huh. I go out into the woods where there's no people and I cut trees and I do stuff. And I didn't want to do that.
Right.
Like, I need a break from all this stuff that I normally do.
Right.
Jennifer was working, so we couldn't, like, let's get in a car and go somewhere.
Right.
So the couch it is.
You said, what would Phil do right now?
I know exactly where I'm going.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know what else to do.
Right. I did get a text from Chaz. He was asking me about Dexter. I'm like, oh, yeah, great show. You should stop watching probably after season 5. Yeah. And then he comes this morning. He's like, I did the whole thing.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I got hooked in. I'm like, you know, I'm one of those obsessive people. When I get fixated on something,
right,
I go crazy.
Uh-huh.
So now I just need to get fixated on losing weight. That would be great.
Right.
But yeah, I went through 8 seasons. It felt great.
Yeah.
It felt great being a friggin' bum.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I know how people get, I get it now. It's like when I went to a Grateful Dead concert, I didn't get it, and then I went there and I got it.
Right.
It's like, oh, I understand this now.
I see how this
when
works.
When I was sitting on a couch being a bum, and your biggest thing is like, do I want to get up for a refrigerator break now? or after one more episode. This is your big decision in life.
Right. How badly do I have to pee right now?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah. Do I go, I'll wait, then I'll go to the bathroom, one then more, I'll go to the fridge.
One more episode, then I'll pee.
Right. I love this life.
Uh-huh.
It's like, yeah. If I don't drink water right now, I'm not going to die in the span of one episode. I'll be all right.
If I just put a tie knot in it right now, we're good.
Yeah, all those can wait. And you think, all right, I'm gonna right after this episode, and then you hear the music, and you see next episode, 3, 2, 1, boom, it starts.
Oh, okay. They do. They start them so quickly now, you almost like, it's like... It's happening. Like, it's already playing, and you're like, I don't want to stop it.
They know. They got you locked in a tractor beam.
Yeah.
Give me 30 seconds. They give you 7.
Yeah. You're hypnotized, basically, and they don't break the spell, and you're just stuck there.
Yeah.
Right.
And, like, I'd open my eyes in bed in the morning. Jennifer's getting ready for work, and I'm like, how long after she walks out that door will I be... watching another episode. I was completely obsessed.
You're actually rushing
around
the house.
I'm not going to shave today.
Right. You're actually handing her clothes to wear here.
There were days she walked in the house. Like, she has this whole life. Like, she gets dressed and showered and makeup, goes to work and
ran errands,
saving lives, running errands, all this stuff. She walks in and I'm in the same spot where she left.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, have you showered? No.
Why?
Does it look like I showered? I haven't. What do you mean showered? You should ask me, have I moved?
Right. There's no TV in the shower, Jennifer.
Right.
I can tell you to shower.
Right. But I was carrying my Mac around with me to different rooms. All right, so I'm going to go fix myself a sandwich. I carry the Mac. I put it on the island.
Nice.
And I'm eating while... I'm watching this.
There's no pause button?
I couldn't stop.
Wow. You need help, man.
And then last night, here was my obsession yesterday.
Oh, no. What happened?
Well, I can't go into work and say, I watched 7.5
you have to finish
seasons.
It. Right.
I have to finish this. I have to be able to say, I completed the mission.
Oh, actually, God. Chad, you could have. We wouldn't have judged you. Because you watched one season.
Right.
We're good with that way.
No.
Yeah.
I had to finish.
Oh.
I thought I was going to end after season 4. 4 was so good.
It's so good. That's one of my favorite seasons of television that's ever happened.
All I will say is John Lithgow is the bad guy.
Oh.
Mm. It's amazing. It's so good.
John Lithgow is the bad guy.
Isn't he the bad guy in Shrek, too?
He's
the little one, isn't he?
You know that's a cartoon, right?
Yeah, but
wow, I had a good buzz on until right then.
Right.
He makes a good bad guy.
Like, I was high on talking about
this. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's your bar for bad guys.
I'm just saying.
Cartoon the little people. Guy from Shrek.
Right. Cartoon people.
I have to go.
This was the Chaz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Chaz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.